Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 35, if you would like to follow along. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation in the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Lord, be with me and be with us as we hear your message today. As Pastor McNeely says, protect me from me and hide me in the shadow of the cross, and guide and direct me and give me the comfort and the guidance and the strength to deliver your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, this Sunday is a little different than many Sundays in that it falls right between Christmas and New Year's, and we have New Year's Eve coming tomorrow morning. And one of the things that struck me in the sort of the afterglow of Christmas was a video that went somewhat viral. I don't know if anyone saw this video of a father getting a ticket to the bowl game, to the national championship game. How many of you saw that video, that Alabama fan? Looks like half of you saw and half of you didn't. For those who didn't see it, a family had gotten a lifelong Alabama fan. He had been, I don't know, 20 or 25 years a season ticket holder, but had never been able to go to a bowl game. And he's probably, I would guess, in his 60s. And his sons bought him a hat to put on. And he opens up the package, as Linda described in her children's message, and the wrapping's going everywhere. And he puts the hat on, and then the one son who's filming it with his camera phone says, "Dad, what size is that hat?" And he says, "I don't know, I guess it'll fit him, you know, one size fits all type deal." And he said, "Well, look at it, what size is it?" So he takes the hat off of his head, and he looks at it, and he's looking for the size of the hat, and he sees the tickets inside the hat for the national championship game, Alabama against Notre Dame. And he just, you have to see it, he just absolutely has a brimming smile, but tears come to his eyes, and he just doesn't know what to say. He's just absolutely overwhelmed with the gift that he's gotten. And I saw an interview with he and his son on ESPN. It went viral. His son just posted it on YouTube, and he said, it was there for a little while. There was a couple thousand hits, and he said, "I just put it on there because I thought it was so good of what we saw Dad's response was." But then a sports writer picked it up and posted it on some sports website, And then it hit Yahoo. Then it hit ESPN, and millions and millions and millions, 7 million hits now, apparently, people have viewed this video. And there was one commentator the other day who said, I've watched that thing a dozen times. He was on ESPN. He said, I keep watching that because the joy, the essence of Christmas is in that short 30-second video. And it's just absolutely a wonderful scene when you see him accept that gift. But I thought the gift of a new year is upon us. And as we transition tomorrow and Tuesday into our new year, it's generally a time where we say goodbye to the year gone by. We say hello to the future year, and we reflect on the past events in our lives. And there's a couple of old sage philosophers you may have heard of, not anybody that goes way back, but Yogi Berra and Satchel Paige. And they give us some guidance on how to handle the New Year's. Yogi Berra once said, the future just ain't what it used to be. And Satchel Paige said, don't look back. Something might be gaining on you. And I think the Apostle Paul would probably be more aligned with Satchel Paige. And if you look in the letter he wrote to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul, he said, don't look back. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it on my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. God's word to us is don't look back. Like the Apostle Paul, we must forget what lies behind and strain forward for what lies ahead. As Linda said, it's that gift of Christmas that goes forward, not the depression of looking back at all those empty packages and the wrappings. But I think it's a human tendency for to want to look back, and that's not bad. We take a mirror and we look at our life in that mirror of what took place in the last year. We have things on the TV that have the year in pictures, or you might have the Sports Illustrated issues of the year in sports, or the history books, or those that have passed away in the previous years, memories that took place over the past. And Paul isn't saying don't look back entirely, because there can be great value in looking back. We can look back to learn. We can look back to affirm the places and faces and circumstances from where we've come. It's like taking a huge mirror and looking back on our life. And those mirrors that we use in life have tremendous value. We have rearview mirrors and sideview mirrors on our cars. We have to look back before we can make those changes. Sometimes in life you do have to look back to learn what are the things that you want to avoid, just like the mirrors on your car. Dentists use mirrors for good things as they look in to correct things in our mouths. Driveway mirrors for those that live on a tough curve. You have to look at that mirror to see what traffic is out there before you venture out or step in on the gas pedal and pull out in front of a vehicle. There's the fun mirrors at Coney Island. Now, looking out, there's not enough folks are probably old enough to remember that. But Coney Island used to have those warped mirrors. And when you stood in front of those mirrors, you could be 10 feet tall and narrow. You could be wide. They did all kinds of funny things. So mirrors can be fun as well. And then you have bathroom mirrors. Hopefully we use our bathroom mirrors occasionally as we prepare for church or going out. So as Paul instructs us, he said, forget what lies behind. He's not saying don't ignore all mirrors, but he's saying don't look back in a way that'll keep you from going forward. Don't look back in a way that makes you a prisoner of your past, because looking back in the wrong way enslaves us and enslaves others to a past of mistakes and sins. Looking back in the wrong way does not allow the healing of old hurts and painful memories. And sometimes we can use those same mirrors in the wrong way. When we use them to look back for the wrong reason, they can be anchors on our ability to be free of those past anchors and to find God's love. For instance, that same bathroom mirror that we use to make sure that we are presentable can sometimes be have I looked better than everybody else in the last year? And that same bathroom mirror then becomes an anchor on finding God's true love. Because God doesn't care what you look like. How many of you are campers? Any campers here? I'm not much of a camper, but boy, after the second morning of camping, you don't care what you look like. Nobody else does. And it's kind of freeing when everybody else looks like they just got out of bed. Nobody cares that the other one's trying to outdo the other. There's a certain freeing capability of that. But in our society, so much is dependent on looks. They look in the mirror and they want to make sure they look better. Or they have more tattoos than everybody else so they can shine bigger and brighter than the other guy with a gazillion tattoos. And for everybody who has tattoos, I'm not all against tattoos. I'm just saying some tattoos go way over the line. And then it becomes about look at me. And God says, when you look in that mirror, I want you to see me. I want you to be seen not by your outside, not by the shell in which we live, but by what you do, how you act, how you interact. Are you living with God's love? That's the person that God wants you to see when you look in that mirror. And there's other folks that look in that mirror and struggle with issues of their past. Maybe of the past year, maybe of the past many years. And they can't let go of those. We had an associate, we'll call her, in the past, who could not come to grips with seeing God as the Father. And the reason that she couldn't, she said, is because she was abused psychologically by her own father. And as a result, she had absolutely no relationship with her father and couldn't come to a relationship with God if he was seen with the pronouns of he and father and him. That mirror in front of her dominated her whole life. She couldn't cast it aside because of that abuse that she had suffered in the past. She moved forward, but she was constantly living a life of the past. And as a result of that, could not enjoy the bounties and the gifts that God gives us because she couldn't enjoy a relationship with God when she heard God referred to as a man because of that abuse. And when we look back at past accomplishments, it's not always the negatives that can be traps for us. It can be accomplishments and successes when we dwell on those looking at the mirror of the past year. And we say, it's because of me that I am successful. That we start falling into that same trap of someone who has suffered from abuse. When we don't attribute those successes and the blessings that we all enjoy to God. He is the foundation that brought the blessings that we have. He is the one that allows us and gives us the gifts that we have. Now, he gives us free will to use them or not. So you may have a talent, you may have a gift, I can't sing a lick, I can't follow the tune that Craig plays. But he has a gift of music that he shares with us. Chip, the same way. But that's a blessing that God has given them that they haven't given me. But he calls me to find what my equivalent talent is and bless God using the talents that he has given us. And sometimes when we look in those mirrors, we see it as us being the person responsible for those accomplishments. And I thought it was interesting, hearkening back to that story of the gentleman who got the hat for the Christmas gift. There was another story as I watched that video for the first time. And as we were driving out, I said, Sally, did you notice what he first said when he opened the box and put the hat on his head? And she said, no, I didn't. And I said, well, if you watch the video again, the first thing he said is, wow, I wish I'd have opened this morning. I could have worn this to church. That's lost in the rest of the story, which is very meaningful. But here's a man who focused his life on God, that he was going to wear that hat to church. And then in the interview on ESPN, he said every single time he goes to a game, he feels blessed to be there. He said, I get to my seat and I just look around and I just thank God that I can enjoy these moments. And I think that adds to the value of that video, that humility, that wonderful feeling that he had when he received that gift. And God gives us that same hat, that same ticket every single day. We have to make sure that we're not living with a huge mirror in front of us that traps us by what's taken place, be it negative or be it positive. It's all about making sure we're looking for that relationship that Paul talked about by looking forward and not looking backwards. So what I'd like you to do for a second is, everybody said, well, what's this piece of paper and pencil for? Well, we're going to have a little interactive service today. What I would like you to do is write one thing that if you look in your life's mirror, is there one thing that sort of holds you back? One thing that you wish you could just cast aside, forgive and forget from this point forward, and go into the new year without having to worry about it? Because as Paul said, it's when you forgive and forget all those things that you are freed. Your heart is open to hear and feel God in ways you've never felt him before. And you're not going to have to read it. You're not going to have to share it. But as we depart, we'll have a wastebasket at the back of the sanctuary. What I'd like you to do is just take that one item that when you look in your life's mirror that's held you back in the past, write it down. Get rid of it today as we walk out of here. And be like Paul, who I'll talk about here in just a second. So I'll give you a minute to write that down. Think about it. It can be one word. It can be one item. It can be temperament. It can be past abuses, past successes. But take a minute and jot that down. All right. As you finish that up, imagine how miserable the Apostle Paul would have been had he not been able to put his sins and his mistakes of his past behind him. As you may remember the stories, his name was Saul before his conversion, and he was the number one enemy of the church. He was responsible for the gruesome persecution and even the murder of people who professed faith in Christ. When Stephen, the great witness for Christ, was stoned to death, Luke tells us that Saul was consenting to his death. In Acts, Luke goes on to say that a great persecution arose against the church, and Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house, and he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Paul's past was cluttered with atrocious acts of evil, and he wasn't perfect even after he became a Christian. He, like us, continually struggles with his sinfulness. Can you imagine how long his list was? How many things that he had to trust God that he was forgiven, yet he was forgiven. Through the grace of God, Paul was forgiven. He affirmed this in his letter to the Colossians. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Paul was able to forget the awfulness of his past because God had forgotten and forgiven Paul's past. In Hebrews, the Lord tells us that he will, quote, remember our sins and misdeeds no more. As you place it in that wastebasket, God forgives and forgets. A powerful, powerful moment. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't turn off everything as we cast something aside. Painful memories or an unhappy childhood. We can't just essentially say, I'll never remember all that. But with prayer and turning it over to God, he will give you what you need to deal with it. And that's going to be different for every single one of it, whatever that might be. We can't live in the past and still fully be alive. There's this ever-present temptation, though, to look back. Sometimes it's because the future, it's uncertain. We know of the past. We can look back with some certainty. That mirror tells us what was there. But with God in your future and looking out that windshield, he gives you the strength that you'll need. And it's the faith that you have to look to him to deal with the future. And that's true of churches. You can never rest upon your laurels. You can never reach a point where we don't have to do anything else for the future. Our faith is an expectant faith, one that always points us to the future. As Christians, we should never long for the good old days, but for the new and exciting days yet to come. A church that continually looks back instead of ahead is a church that isn't going anywhere. As individuals in a church, God isn't most concerned with where we've been or where we used to be. His concern is what we're doing right now and what we're going to do tomorrow. Paul paints the picture of a runner straining and pushing to finish a race. As he said, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. And as you leave this morning, what lies ahead for each one of us and what lies ahead for our church, we don't know. We got that email totally out of the blue. Bill Thurman is as healthy as a horse if you met Bill Thurman. You would never suspect he would be a victim of lung cancer. Never smoked in his life, yet he has lung cancer. But if we have God in our life and we press forward with him, we will find the story that looking forward and looking to him gives us the strength to deal with no matter what comes from the time we leave this parking lot until we come together again. And as Grant used to say as he ended every service, whether he meets us here next Sunday or whether he meets us in heaven, it doesn't matter where we meet, but with God we will have the strength we need. And let me end with a story that we're probably all familiar with from Genesis. As you may remember, it's a story that vividly illustrates the dangers of looking back. God had just pronounced the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, and that they are about to be destroyed. In the meantime, God sends some messengers to a good man named Lot and his family. The message is very clear. Flee for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Flee to the hills, lest you be consumed. Lot and his wife and two daughters leave behind their home as the fire and the brimstone rain down on Sodom and Gomorrah. Then the unexpected happens. The Genesis writer says, but Lot's wife behind, she looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. The message is not what we'll become or if we'll become a container of salt if we look back. But what the story says is that our journey ends when we look back. Our spiritual lives become just as dead and useless as a pillar of salt if we look back and not forward. Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. As we leave here today, let us remember Paul's words. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. May you have a happy new year. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and to hear your word and your message. We thank you that we can celebrate with other Christians. And we thank you for the year that has gone by and the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us in that year. But we thank you for the gift you have given us, the salvation of your Son. As Simeon said, this baby will be the salvation. And we know that he is with us all year long, day after day after day. In your name we pray. Amen.